Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Worship
Father, we just release your life and grace into this house this morning in the name of Jesus.
Worship you, Father.
We release the powerful presence of God that is already here to begin to do a work exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Lord, we just release the power of God that the lightnings of heaven will come and that you will scatter our enemies in that which we cannot do of ourselves by your grace, the same grace that saved us when we could not cross the spiritual void of death, that you came and offered the blood of Jesus. Now, once again, in that blood, now we pray that, Lord, we being heirs, sons and daughters of the heavenly, we pray that now in Jesus' name that you will lift us up into heavenly places, in that positional place that we've already been declared seated with him in heavenly places. We speak against principalities and powers, against rulers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We speak against those things, Lord, that have been assigned this day against us to abate us from going in to that which you have assigned us on this planet to receive and to be given unto us. Lord, I release power into the bodies now. I release life and grace into the minds, into the places of the emotions. Father, now by the presence of Almighty God, we pray those things will be arrested and that, Lord, they'll come to settle upon the peaceable love and the hope. Pekarastia bereste le badistie. Etiafrosto bakreste. Understand this, saith the Spirit of grace. There is a natural hope, and that hope runs out. But there is a heavenly hope, and which I have spoken of in my word. Know this, that hope will never run out, saith the Spirit of grace. That hope has an expectation in the worst of times. That hope has an expectation in the most desperate of times, saith the Spirit of grace. That hope has its best in your life when you utterly depend upon it against all reasoning of the mind, saith the Spirit of grace. When nothing else makes sense but God, know this, my hope never runs out, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Father.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you are the King of Kings.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord of Lords.
I just want to tell you, just before we go into this worship, expect and just let his hope fill your spirit.
Yes, amen.
Your symptoms may have increased from the moment that you arrived on this property. And yet the reversal of that is true.
Amen.
The enemy comes at the breaking point. He comes at the place where true deliverance is at and camps at that. You may be here this morning and feel from the moment you stepped on here the opposing spirit stronger than you've felt them in days. But it's only a testimony to the fact that if you will not leave, if you will just listen in your heart, there's victory at the end of all this.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may feel more estranged now than you did when you walked in. Have you ever walked into a place and walked into the house and felt like I'm not even home? You ever walked into church and the emotional battle goes up 10 points? It's only a testimony that life is on the other side of the argument. Healing is on the other side of the argument. If your fever went up once you walked in the door, there's healing on the other side.
Amen.
Of the warfare.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
and one thing you're going to learn here this morning is before you leave this place, is that you're not alone. There is an all-out war, but it is one that we are winning, and it is one that is a testimony to the fact that we are on the right track. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I would encourage you to take hope, and I would encourage you to worship the Lord. Sit, stand, walk, lay down, get propped up, but relax and have a good time in the Spirit. But take your hope in the Holy Spirit. Let the power of God just begin to rain down on your spirit. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Rhema of God. Lord, we pierce the darkness with your prophetic sword. Life be in the name of Jesus. Let that sword appear in our midst. Father, we thank you for your written word. And by it, it has become the shield of faith wherewith we are able. The very logos which Jesus spoke against the hour of his temptation in one spirit, soul, and body. We thank you for that. But we take also along with it the sword of the Spirit, which is the very Rhema of God, the very word for the moment in our midst. The very life of God that sustains us. As we go into revival, Father, let the word now, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in that sight, the sight of your word. But all things are naked and open unto him and whom we have to do. And this is what we pray, Lord, that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are yet today, tested and tried. But yet, Lord, we thank you that in all points he has become unto us victorious. Therefore, we take the sword of the Spirit and we speak life over this congregation. Let it appear before us. Hallelujah. Begin to pray. You've got a prophetic. Just pray over. Just pray. If you've got a prophetic prayer and you know it is.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Lord, today. I thank you, Father, that you are the rest. I thank you, Father, that you are the deliverer. That you are the comforter. Lord, I thank you that you are our peace. I thank you, Father, that you rule and reign in the lives of your people. Father, I thank you that you've given us the vision. Father, you said without vision, your people perish. Father, I thank you that we have a place that we're going.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
I thank you that your blood is the means by which we will get there.
Yes,
Lord.
I thank you, Father, that we have already overcome.
Jesus.
Not tomorrow will not be the day that we overcome.
Today.
Not in years.
Today.
But now.
Yes.
I thank you, Father, that your blood has already been shed. And the victory is already ours.
Yes.
And the enemy is under our feet. We thank you, Father, that we will go on in power.
Yes.
And in your glory, Jesus, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
He is Lord and victor.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that a boldness will rise up in your people, this people.
Yes.
That we will not be ashamed, Lord, of what we know. And that we proclaim, Father,
Jesus,
that you are the answer.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
as the world sees it. Not in a weak way, Father.
Jesus.
But as you have written in your word, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
That the love of God will be shed abroad, Father.
Yes.
Start it with us, Father.
Yes.
Let it spread throughout this land,
yes.
Father.
Yes.
The power of your love, Jesus.
Yes.
That we will see your glory, Father. And your church grow, Father,
Jesus.
And overcome
yes.
by your blood. We thank you, Father, that it's so. It is so. It is so. It is so. We thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Father, we praise you. We thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Not a doctrine. And not a testimony, but a prophetic prayer.
I thank you, Father, that we're a house of health, that we're a house of prosperity, that yes. we're a house of salvation, that we are a house that is a refuge, Lord, for those to come in from the storm. I thank you, Father God, that this is the place, that we are your people, and we declare your word, and what we say is true because yes. it's your word that's true, Father God.
Yes.
We choose to speak your word and not our circumstances. We choose to speak your word over each and every situation, Father God, because it's your word that's truth. Circumstances are just facts, but your word is truth.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we stand upon the truth of your word, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for it.
Yes,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glorify
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you, Lord, that this is a house of prayer, Lord. Father, and we have committed our ways to you, Lord, and we stand as yes. ministers to you, Jesus, and only you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that this house of prayer, Lord, is rooted and grounded in your love, Lord,
yes.
and that your love of banner, Lord, your banner of love, Lord, just flows over us, Lord, as it's already been prophesied over this house, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you said that your house of prayer will be a joyful house,
yes.
Lord, and your
yes.
joy
hallelujah.
Will come into this house, Lord.
Yes.
Father, that your joy, Lord, is our strength, Lord.
Yes. Mm.
Father, and I
yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for that, Lord. And I give you all the praise,
yes.
all the honor, all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you. That the threefold cord cannot easily be broken. And I thank you, Lord, that the spirit of unity
yes, yes.
continues to bind us together
yes,
to such an effect that, Lord, that supernaturally, not with personalities, not with mindsets, but a true intervention of the Holy Spirit, the same one that appeared in the book of Acts, where all men had all things common, where all men were of the same mind, in one mind, in one accord. And Lord, that began to birth the days of power. That began to birth the days of an unction from the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I thank you that the same thing that appeared then once again appears upon this earth. We covet these things. We covet the threefold cord, the binding of the Lord, the binding of the sheaves, God bringing forth. Father, we dismiss spirits of darkness.
Yes.
We dismiss murmuring spirits
yes.
and yammering spirits
yes.
and spirits
yes.
in the night and spirits in the day and spirits that give hints and spirits that give inclinations of what we believe about our brothers. Father, we rest only in what is truth
yes.
in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Yes.
Lord, we have one standard and that is your word.
Yes. Yes.
Your word spoken.
Jesus.
Your word written. We choose 1 Corinthians 13 that these are the standards by which we judge our brothers.
Yes, Lord,
Lord, that we believe the best, that we think the best, that we suppose the best. Lord, if we are wrong, let us be wrong on the side of believing the very best. We thank you in Jesus' name. We dismiss the spirit that says there is a naivety, there is a naiveness that we should not become subject to. Father, I say that, Lord, that when we walk in your love, we're more empowered by discernment than ever before in the name of Jesus. We see clearer through the eyes of love than we ever will by seeing through our own eyes and judging. Father, in the name of Jesus, we dispel the works of darkness. We release the power of God. Let us walk in the Master's love. Nothing was ever pulled over his eyes. He knew in the day that, Lord, that he chose the one that would betray him. He knew the moment that he touched him that it would be him. But yet the love of God was so powerful that it did not alienate the very one that betrayed him. Lord, we speak that life today. Let that cord get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until, Lord, it is released in us, this outpouring that flows through this city Lord, we worship you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Anybody else? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's already provided. He's already provided. Everything you need, He's already provided.
Yes, Jesus.
He's already provided. He's already provided. Everything you need, He's already provided. Worship you, Jesus.
Lord, you have
worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your need to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Yes, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. We worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's all the first church had. They didn't have a sound man in the back to put on a lot of good worship. They didn't even hardly have any instruments. They just had their hearts. And that's why He invited them to be filled when they got there. To have a prayer. We participated in that. To have a psalm. Participated in that. Prophecy's already been spoken. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus, praise you, Jesus.
We glorify you.
Worship you, Jesus. Magnify
we worship you and glorify you.
Oh, Lord, you're so wonderful.
Father, flood this place with supernatural miracles. The blind see and the lame walk.
The
deaf are able to hear and the dumb speak. We truly know and understand that because of a declaration of independence that you've declared publicly, that your faith has been put on trial by the wicked one. And he desires to make you a living spectacle among the nations, that those that wag their head and say they trusted in the Lord and spoke these things, and yet they appear to be as worse off than the rest of the world, or even as the rest of the world. But know this, saith the Spirit of grace, that even those things that are supernatural that come as a debate against truth, Know that the one who stands and sees past the present darkness into a place where truth prevails will also take the spoils of war, saith the Spirit of grace. For know that when I brought out those great congregation of my children out of Egypt, they crossed over into a place of promise, that I recorded what I'm capable of. For I said in my word that there was not a feeble or sick one among them. If I can keep a whole congregation of tens and tens of thousands against sickness, disease, abnormalities in their bodies, am I not able all the more to those who have been washed in the blood of my Son to cause them to appear before all nations as a special bunch that has learned who they are in their Father, saith the Spirit of grace. Beklasio. But I do not chide you, and I do not rebuke you as some would think of the order of things. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But understand this, that as I'm bringing you out, I'm still having to change you. And your affinity with the world and your understanding is because you've not yet divorced yourself in your understanding completely with understanding that I said that I draw an absolute line between the world and my children. And what is accessible on one side is not accessible on the other. My health for you to spring forth and absolutely look and not be caresetia. Devraso crimedice. He made a real distinction in that. So many, you've humbled yourself way beyond my standard. What is that, Lord? I know it. He said the standard you humbled yourself before was you felt it was arrogance to proclaim among and around sick people and people going through desperate situations with their bodies, with their finances, and all those kinds of things. You thought it, this is arrogance if I speak up and say, I will not be subject to those things. But I say unto you, the church has melded down to a place through the generations that they see themselves in the light of the world. They see themselves having to get vaccinated from this and vaccinated from that and shot for that and shot for that. But I say unto you, there is emerging a church which is going to be persecuted by, no, not the world, but the church within the church. For they will say, what an arrogant bunch. But then they will have to testify at the end of their statements after watching you live on the other side of provision, spirit, soul, and body, that your arrogance was only a revelation of who you were in Christ Jesus. And you came forth victorious. For I have seen, and again, please, as a father, I do not chasten you sorely as with anger, but I raise your expectations. What is it, saith some? How is it that His Word proclaims such a powerful place of victory? And yet, this is not my testimony or what I see. My body breaking down, my soul breaking down, and all these things. For I say unto you, there is a convincing that only comes through time spent in my Word and in my Spirit. And by the arguments that are coming, know this, that you yourself are choosing to come up above these things. You will not be sorry, saith the Spirit of grace.
Thank
you will not be sorry. For as clay and steel cannot mix and they cannot provide a foundation. Vadeseki, what is that? Okay. He said, for me to tell you again, he's not angry. He wanted you to know that it's just a little bit on the inside of many hearts. It's a little bit angry why he hasn't come. Little bit. Okay, I'm describing it nice. Sometimes it turns into a fire. So much so that you'd like to take this and throw it against the wall. What is it? Because it doesn't match up with... Yes, sir.
Jesus.
There's still... He said, I'm trying to get you out of Egypt. I'm trying to get you to believe. You will believe, saith the Spirit of grace. And the anger that's there at times... In an accusing, I am not offended. Should I say that? I believe I can, because I'm not saying in first person. I'm having to say it in second. He said, I'm not offended at you, saith the Spirit of grace. I am seeing you as children coming up against all odds and crying out in the midst of your infirmities. But know this, if I could take a congregation of 1 million people, see, I'm saying that out of my... You prophesy according to your knowledge. So they say there was 1 million plus. But whatever there was, I'm prophesying in essence. Back to Him. If I could take that congregation of those who come out, no feeble, no sickness, nothing.
That's right.
For 40 years. Even when they died, they didn't die like most of the church is dying. Hallelujah. Well, what kind of church is this that comes in and begs you to get arrogant? We've been too humble for too long.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'd like to hear it. And then I'd like to see it. Then I'd like to see it.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'd just like to hear it, and then I'd like to see it.
Yes, Jesus.
Well, I think before it's over with, yes, we're going to have some arrogant people, yes, walk up to say others and say, oh, no, no. I can't. You see, the church of 2012, the guy that's trying to get up cannot get alone, or I cannot. This is what the church of 2012. Overall, gold and silver I have. I can write you a check or give you a credit card, but power I don't have.
Jesus.
Power I don't have. But Peter and John didn't bring my checkbook, but such as I have, give I thee.
Amen.
Get up. Get up.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you're going to hear some people.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe you should wait to know who to say it to. And they say, oh, has that got your house this week? Oh, no, because we don't do that. What do you mean you don't do that? We don't. They don't come. Really? No, it don't come. Because I've got a covenant. See, I say that whenever or whatever. Even when I'm... Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like the people to walk away from me and say, that guy's either got a lot of faith or he's an idiot. He's just an absolute idiot. Well.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Troubled, he said... On every side, but not in distress. Talk about a paradoxical kind of, the world can't understand us because they don't have peace. You know what he's talking about when he said the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And he cries, Abba. You don't hear a little voice. You're showering or just inadvertently just catch something on the inside of you. Abba, Abba, Abba. I never have heard really that. But he's saying that spirit that's inside of you, that born again nature, it has a witness to it. It's a beacon that never will. It just emanates. He's your Father. He's your Father. The only way that you ever know, sometimes in the midst of a horrid time, physically, spiritually, some kind of academic way in which hell has come to launch its best against you. The way that you'll know is that when it comes down to just bare knuckles and it just feels like there's no witness. There's just no witness. There's no hope. And then you decide, well, I'm quitting. I'm just going to either lay down and die or just not. I'm just not going back. And I determined that it's just all over. It's hopeless. As I live out my days, either go back into the world or else just live out in some kind of veggie state. And then you hear a song. Or you hear some short message. Or something, you're just walking through the kitchen or you're walking through the house. Or something on the inside says, oh God, I can't, as bad as I want to, I can't quit. What is it that won't ever let you quit? It's that witness on the inside. It doesn't matter if it's buried under a billion metric tons of weight. It just keeps emanating. He's your Father. Don't give up. He's your Father. Don't give up. He's your Father. Don't give up. Troubled on every side, yet not in distress. Perplexed was the next one. He said, we're perplexed. Perplexed meant, in the Greek, it meant optional choices. Let's see. What are you going to do now? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Perplexed as in which way? Don't know. But he said, not in despair. In other words, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring based on where you're at right now. But you're not in despair. Because you're reclining back on something Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. It's impossible if you recline on that. They could lock you up in an asylum if you still believe 2 and 2 equals 4. And that you've got to fall underneath the pressure of the world. But then again, the whole world could crush around you. The whole world. Because who you really are on the inside is an alien to this planet. Your born again nature, it has a DNA that cannot, under no circumstances, and under multiple circumstances, it does not have a spirit of fear, power. It has power and of a sound mind. The Greek says a disciplined mind. In other words, it won't let you down under any circumstances. But you have to recline on it. You'll either live in one world or the other. You'll live in the logical, or you can step over into what doesn't make sense to the mind, but you know. Perplexed, but not in despair. said, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. The last one was cast down. It was painted, the picture was, you got circumstances slammed you down so hard that it knocked the breath out of you. You just couldn't even breathe. But in the horrid of horrids, you had to know this. You weren't forsaken. Well, that came from a man in chapter 4 who was headed towards chapter 11. And I'm not talking about bankruptcy either. Although hell had already declared bankruptcy on him. It really sounds fantastic. I got to tell you, I believe every bit of the word, but you know, certain things, this sounds almost as fantastic as a guy going in a big fish's mouth and being in there 3 days. It's almost a point where you just have to say, okay, I believe it. Because how could you get run over by a bus a dozen times in one life? Or lightning struck, you know, 10 times. It just, one beating of 39 stripes would have been probably enough. In fact, comparatively speaking, most preachers have been beat real hard with a wet noodle. And they cannot stand the fact that they don't get moral support from their congregation. Folks, we're getting so low on finances that it appears that I'm going to have to lay off my pool man. That's modern day persecution for righteousness' sake. 5 times? Now, wait a minute. I believe you, Paul, but 5 different times they found you in your journeys and beat you with 39 stripes. I swear by God. I tell you this truth. This is God telling me to tell you this. Not to justify me, but to tell you that God, He delivered me out of all that. And I could not quit. Wow. 5 times they beat you. 39. Yes. Oh, and by the way, 3 times with rods. That wasn't the 5 scourgings. Now, if you look up historically, the rod beatings were fantastic. You were shackled, your feet were shackled, and you were beat with rods, predominantly on the feet, until they felt that your bones and your feet were all broken. And they did that not to kill him, but to hobble him. I mean, it really sounds fantastic to me. Like, you had 5 39 lash beatings, and somewhere sandwiched in all that, they also shackled you and beat your feet and ankles with rods until they broke all the bones in it. Yes, I did that. They did that to me. Obviously, he had to believe that God was his healer. I'll bet you the next few days. And we suppose some things that's not really real. We suppose these men were like angels. They didn't feel it. Somebody said, he loved us so much on the cross, he didn't feel the pain. Oh, my God. He bartered with the Father right down to the end. If you've got any, can you figure out a way? I mean, after a million calculations. No, there's no way. Other way, son. He felt it. Paul probably was hobbled for days. Father, I say, you're my healer. You're my healer. You're my healer. My healer. Somewhere in all that, he probably couldn't tell you the moment in time. He woke up a little bit better one morning. He woke up a little bit better the next. And someplace in it. 3 times, he said, my ship went down. In fact, if that guy, there's really nobody walking in that kind of power now because there's not really too many people that dangerous. But in the last days, we're going to come up. The things that have stopped us. But if you'd run into him at Atlanta, getting on a Delta flight, based on the fact that this guy, the modern day way of travel is airplanes, you'd say, Paul, my God, you're the Apostle Paul. And you don't have to call me Apostle. I'm Apostle Bronk. He wasn't writing apostle so they could call him apostle. He was identifying on a call that he had. If your title is what you believe gives you power, man, I have got a degree. But I've never had to present that degree to a devil that I was casting out. Do you hear me? The Greek I was trained under, you see this right here? In the name of Southeastern University, I cast you out. Oh, and by the way, I'll throw Jesus in there too, if that'll get it done. Paul, would you sign my Bible? Yeah, I'll sign your Bible. Come here. Paul, a friend of Christ, a servant of Christ. Whew. After a cup of coffee, Starbucks maybe. What flight are you getting on? Oh, I'm headed down to so-and-so, flight 407. Oh my God, same one. Wow. Go to the local, get on your smartphone and candy. Rebook me another flight. I'm staying. Because this man has a track record. Yeah. Yeah, he's walked out of several burning planes. But maybe this is the last one he'll ever walk out of. But all the ones he gets on, a lot of them go down. I'm not traveling with him. I'm not getting on his flight. And then he goes into all those, not pearls, perils. It's not spelled pearls. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the cities. Perils in. He said perils in the waters, and he wasn't even. He was. That word waters is not the same as seas that he went down in. He's talking about, you know, bridge crossings, land. He said, perils by my countrymen, perils by foreigners, by robbers. I've been stuck up, held up, stolen from. Everywhere I go. So this sounds so fantastic. Yeah, oh, one time they stoned me. A lot of people say, yeah, I've been stoned before. No. The one that they, in Lystra, they thought he was dead. And then they stood over him. And then they prayed. And he got up. And crazy enough, he went right back into the city that they had thrown him out of and stoned him. Now listen. When he met the Savior probably 30-something years earlier on a road to Damascus, he wasn't in love with him. He responded because power came. It knocked him off his horse. He saw a blinding light. And then later, in a little place, a little house, he was born again. He was born again there on the road and then Spirit-filled in his the scales came off his eyes, and he began to follow this Christ. But through the years, by the time he gets to Philippians, he writes, he's the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a slave unto God, a slave unto Christ. And his epithet changed from parlaying a place, going to a place where he desired to be part of the Sanhedrin and a noted doctor of the law, till the thing that he said, I count all that, but it says rubbish in some. It's the word dung. And it is really the word, get it off my feet. It's the word poop. I count it all. That I have found the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have fallen head over heels in love with him. And he said, this is it, that I may know him. I want to know him. And what took him through those persecutions was not, listen, what has taken us through our persecutions, what has taken us through some fantastic moments, all of us, I'm not just talking about myself, is that we aspire to revival. But there's something greater than revival. And it's falling in love with this man called Jesus. So much so that when everything looks like the testimony is against it. Listen, I'm going to get a shirt, or somebody's going to help me get one, that I'm going to be able to say, this is what it's about. It's going to say something like 600 after 600 years, 2 months, and 17 days. That's Genesis 7:11. Noah. What is that? It said in after all of those, after all that time, on the 600th year, the second month, and the 17th day of Noah's life, that the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven opened, and the flood came. Hallelujah. Well, what's so significant about 600, 2 months, and 17 days? Nothing. That's what makes it significant. It's just when He promises something, at one given time, it is going to come to pass. We're calling on Him for revival. And in 600, whatever it is, 2 months, 17 days, listen, devil, we're going to wear another shirt. It's going to say, how do you like me now? After all this, how do you like me now? Because the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised. Hallelujah to God. 16 years old, I was when I took my first pastorate, youth pastor. A guy came to me and another guy and said, you guys need a pastor here. I said, oh, no. I went through one of those first things that youth pastors go through. I'm not getting enough support. Homer's not. Well, I don't want to demean this because this is very important. Youth pastoring is very important. But he's not just a youth pastor. He's a teacher and a minister of the word. And of course, you know who preaches around here when I'm gone. And others of you will. But I went through that first initial. And that was 16. So I know I look like I'm in my 30s, but I just turned 52. 36 years, nearly, of active ministry. All the glory to God. Hallelujah. 18, we went away to Bible college. Now it's a university. And came back, early 20s. Went into a church and started ministering. And we were, what do they call us? Cell group. The pastors of the cell group ministry. And so we had like 30 cell groups. And some of them would just be a few people. Some of them would be a lot of people. So we had a fun job. We'd travel, you know, because the church couldn't meet in one place on Wednesday. And so we had a big congregational meeting on Sunday. But during the week, we would, you know, we had all these cell groups. And they were like little churches. And we got to travel to those little churches. And I would teach when I would get there or something. So I was pastoring like 30-something churches, it seemed like. And some of them were doing good, and some of them probably had troubles at times. But it was really neat. We were just doing everything we possibly could. You know, during those days, preaching in trailer parks, I mean campgrounds. That's fun. And prisons. My God. I was never in one, but I preached in a bunch of them. Travel around to them all over different parts of the state several different times, and where the killers were at and the bad boys. And Maxim, I tell you, it's some feeling when that door shuts behind you. So we went several times. One time, I mean, we went to some bad ones. We went to some over in Miami and some. We went to down here where friend works, Ken, yeah. And then But that was back when it was maximum security. But we went down there a bunch. And then DeSoto and Charlotte. And I mean, just all over the state. And some of the really bad places. One time we went in there and we did have, you know, I was going to preach. And then I was with a group that we were singing. And then they'd let ladies come in too at times. One time we got in there and they shut the place down on us because they were about to have a prison break. And then I realized, what in the world am I doing here? And then they put us all in this room and he said, no, you can't leave. We can't let you in. We can't let you out because looks like we were going to have a prison break. And then we got women in there with us. And I'm talking about these are bad guys. They don't have nothing to live for. And they won't let us out. I just like, just let me out. No, I didn't say anything. I was just waiting and seeing. And you're figuring out, man, there's not even enough in here to grab and hit somebody with. I mean, by that, you're trying to figure out how you survive. But just keep ministering and keep going. And I'll tell you, but some of the greatest times I ever had was ministering down in places like Guatemala and those kinds of places and those trips down there. I was raised in poverty, Pastor. No, you've never seen it. Oh, I was living in the Appalachians and you haven't seen poverty. Well, unless you've been to a place like Guatemala City and went to the dump where thousands live. But unless you can come back and reconcile something with God, when you first get back, you do have to reconcile, because when you look down, see what you got, it'll kind of nauseate you. When you walk into your closet and look and see, you know, that you've got more than one shirt, it's a shock. Because you never seen poverty like that. You never seen people, just little kids. Like, you know, you put your kid there. And his whole survival is that day to dig something. And he just sleeps right there in the dump. Right there. Well, Pastor, we're having it. No, sweetheart, nobody here. It's hard to starve in America. It's hard. I mean, you got to work at starving here, because if you break down your pride and just go down there, a soup kitchen will feed you. It's real hard to sleep out in the cold, because usually you got a friend or a family member you could say, could you take me into, you know, for a while till I get. You never seen poverty unless you've been there. Some of you may have been there, but you'd have to go there. And I preached in those mountain villages. You know, I'd had sometimes in those orphanages, I'd go down the street to cry because I couldn't take it. And a hurt had come up inside of you so bad that unless God comes, and the only way you can really reconcile that is that when you get back, you have to make some kind of real something inside of you come to a place where you have to make some kind of reconciliation that whatever you have is His. And you really begin to believe that. If you can believe it, then you can eat the steak. Otherwise, you don't want to go look at that stuff. But then, what we're after, listen, you don't really realize that what you're after is worthy enough to be stopped. It's worthy because it has the capacity to change a world. And the fight that I've watched, it wasn't just the fight that we've been through. We've had some precious, hundreds of precious people come through here, and still some of the best people on the planet Earth have come and gone. Still the best. And that's all you'll ever get me to say. But you got to know this. the recent amping up of some of the elders being under extreme physical. I didn't really catch it so much until, and then I got to talk like this because I got to be an example, because I really don't like to. Right before this last fast, I contacted, run into something. It was in the spirit, but then it come on into the natural and the physical part of it. And I thought, well, it's just a lot of toxins. Because I just never, ever. I'm just so thankful. I just don't know what sickness is. I don't have any pain in my body. And I give all the glory to God. And I don't have any abnormalities. I don't have anything. I mean, when's the last time you were checked? I haven't been checked. And if you are checked, that's great. Get checked until you just walk right out of it. But then I contacted, ran into something, and I said, okay, this is nothing, because I know as a faster, years of experience, I know what will happen. It'll take about 3 days. And I know enough and studied enough and read enough and understand enough. After my toxin level is dispersed of, my immunities will go back up to whatever this is, and the natural will be driven out. So I'll be just... But after 3 weeks, I was still fighting. And then I knew that there was a fight in the spirit that was pushing something in the natural. And I can tell you this, because I've gotten past all that. But I can tell you that the prophetic prayers are being prayed and everything is the sword of the Spirit to come against. And then he said last week, if you were here, if you weren't, and I take it, even though I wasn't planning on saying it, I heard it, and then I had to say it to you as a prophetic word. He said, we've gotten past something. Did you hear me? We've gotten past something. So you still have to believe it. You still have to claim it. You still have to go on. But what you don't understand sometimes is how worthy you are to be stopped. You read like something fantastic, like from that man. And after 35, 6 years of ministry, you really think, well, it's not that you earn anything, it's that you begin to listen. He'll come at you. He'll come at you in every possible way to get you to believe something that's not real. Because he believes this. He believes more sometimes, not all the time, in your potential than you believe in yourself. Have you taken any beatings? No. Not physically. And I'm speaking for the rest of you. But some of what your marriages have went through in the last few years, and your bodies have went through, and your children have went through, and some of the... Listen, it's not legal to do that anymore. Thank God. They may reinstitute that before the end of the century. I hope not. But where we're headed, if it was legal, a few of us may have toted one by now. We may have had that testimony. How many you got? Well, I only got one. Or I got two. See, you, that's New Testament. That's the apostles writing. That's not us. That's the way you think sometimes. But listen, he's had to go underground. He can't use a government now to beat you with. But he will come. He will come. And he'll do everything he possibly can to discourage you. The only thing I don't want, listen, and this is the hard part. I don't mind taking a blatant test. I don't want it. And listen, we're not sadistic around here. We love dominion. We love peace. We love health. We love good times. We love lots of money, not in a bad way, but we love the God of prosperity. We're not sadistic. Like, oh, we want to claim persecution so that gets us notoriety. No, God. Man, absolutely not. You got to understand that He wants to stop us. Did He do everything He possibly can? The only thing is this, I don't mind taking a blatant trial. A blatant one, like this has come and Jesus said it would come for the word's sake. We're not qualified like Paul. No, listen, they can't beat you anymore. So when he had that avenue, he'd pull it out. If he could beat you for righteousness' sake, he probably would. Maybe some of us would have taken a beating by now. But it's illegal to do that. So he's got to come some other way. The only thing is, I don't want to be part and partisan to my test. In other words, he said that he took advantage of them, the enemy, by their own will. At his own will, he said. In other words, he was able to pawn their life like pawns on a chessboard, push them into this, push them into that, because of their own weaknesses and because of their own frailties. And they could not believe in their moral states and those kinds of things like that. Listen, while you're in that and you're partially the reason why, say, Pastor, I know I'm probably 90% of the reason why. Guess what? Don't give up. If you don't give up, the Holy Spirit will extract from you whatever it is that's giving Satan the license. See, God doesn't make you sick. He doesn't make you sick. There's no way that God can make you sick. But if you're over here doing something, do you know I've heard people to say, I really have, and I know, I've heard people say, look, we're going through a real, and I'm not talking about somebody that just got saved. I'd have to explain that to you. In infancy, they don't know much better. But I've heard people say, and it's nobody in this room, and you couldn't guess, oh, my finances are really being attacked. And knowing that they're, you know, living with somebody or sleeping around or something. Listen, that's not your finances being attacked. That's a, you're given right. That's not a test. That's you giving license to Satan to destroy your finances. You can't, now here's real blatant. You can't wake up next to your girlfriend and say, I'm rebuking the devil off of my finances. Here we go. What's he doing? Smoking one of those spiritual Cuban cigars, those devil cigars. Sipping cheap Russian vodka. In the spirit, they're over there. And they just playing cards. And they're laughing. Because they say, look, he's living. They're playing the cards and sipping whiskey in the spirit. Those devils. Sickness, poverty, disease, mental oppression. Charlie, did you hear him? What did he say? He rebuked one of us. He told us to leave his house. Charlie just takes another puff and says, he can't make me leave. I'm not going to leave till he stops, you know. I'm the one that's been giving him, passing off the porno on him. I'm not leaving. See, those are not, well, I rebuke you. Honey, we've been living together 15 years and we're not going to get married, but I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Sickness, you leave my home. No, they're not going to leave. That's not a blatant trial. You have signed license. The Word of God says you can't do those kinds of things, and you've signed a license over and says, I'm yours. I'm going to heaven. My spirit's saved, but I'm acting like I'm of this world. And you can't make one of them leave until you get over here and start acting like who you are in Christ. Well, I rebuke you. They're going to spit right in your face. They're not leaving. That's the difference that I'm trying to say is what a blatant trial is. Well, I don't do all that stuff, Pastor. No, no. But here's something is deadly. Here's something is just as deadly. When you get up, call somebody or meet somebody and you tear your brother all to pieces. And then you go in here and say, Father, I claim a new job. I claim an increase. The Father is like, you know what, precious? You're not going to get any increase. Now, don't tell me this is a works message. This is a truth message. This tells you how to divorce yourself so that when you get over here, see, I don't mind blatant trials. I don't mind. The man got beat 5 times with 39 stripes, not because he was messing around with another man's wife. He got beat for righteousness' sake. I will smile in the midst of my beatings when I know. And guess what? I'm going to tell you, some of my trials are still my participation. And that's not looking at bad stuff or going someplace. Listen, the church that's going to cause revival. Listen, I want to say this. If you are here this morning and you're doing any of that stuff, don't get under condemnation. Just repent and say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to believe God. Don't. But guess what? Let me tell you this. The church that does receive revival, it's going to be a church. He looked down through the end time and you say, well, can we ever? Not in ourselves, but he prophesied in Revelation saw. John saw. He saw. This was not prophetic, like, I want this to happen. He saw it and he said, I see a church that brings back the glory of God. There is a church so powerful, a church within a church that brings the bridegroom back because he's able to look at that church and say, it is a church without spot or blemish. So equivocate in your mind. Make the adjustments. When I'm saying, and I'm not bragging, anything that I've ever come to is still him. I can't do it of myself. Of myself, I could fall. But when I say, and when you say, in the church that brings it about, we still got adjustments in us. I'm talking about those adjustments of, I could love you more. I could respect you more. I could do more for you in my attitude and the way I'm not talking about jumping over here and saying, look, I know I still need to change. And like, as the pastor of church, I'd like to tell you that I'm getting better about going over on 2nd Street. I'm growing. And praise God, I want to tell you, I'm getting mortified. I haven't tied on a drunk in 3 weeks. We're going to receive a revival. No, no, no. I'm not talking about that mortification. I'm talking about a progression where we're walking in more love. So that in the days ahead, our persecution is a joy, knowing that we're not part of. We're not part of it. We've been extracted out of it. Hallelujah. And if you're part of your persecution right now, say, look, just my yieldedness to say, I need to change, makes the Father so happy. He's so happy. And guess what? Even in whoever you are and whoever I am, if we've been washed in the blood, we're going home at the end of all this. Hallelujah. So, there's coming a day, if we don't stop. There's a lot of elders been fighting some horrid physical battles. And for the most part, I do not believe it's like their investment in it. And many of you have been fighting some horrid battles. And for the most part, it's real persecution in the sense of the word. He can't beat you anymore, so he's going to do anything he possibly can to obscure the vision that is set in front of us. Again, I reiterate, the vision first is you get to know Christ. Find him in such a way that will never cause you to stop. Then the next thing is, out of that vision of Christ, hear the bridegroom's voice and say, okay, what part am I? What part am I as an intercessor, as a giver, as one that is called to this local body to do whatever I'm supposed to do in this area? we're going to succeed because we know Him. And we're going to wear a big T-shirt that says, "How about it, devil? How do you like us now?" 600, 2 months, and 17 days. It's just the fountains were opened up, and I like it says the windows of heaven. The flood came. It just came. It's going to be right in the middle of one of these times like now. And then all of a sudden, glory be to God. Father, we just love You so much. We praise You and give You all the glory and who You are, what You are to us. I love You, Daddy. And Lord, I love these, and more than me loving them, You love them, and I cannot even begin to love them like You love them, because Jesus shed His last bit of blood. His spiritual life was extracted from Him, and He died the death of one under the penalty of sin. Suffering under my penalty, not just the physical death, but the spiritual death in that place of the damned. But I thank You, Lord, that He could not be contained there. But at the end of that reproach, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead also will quicken us and has quickened us. So I bless these, Father. Father, I bless these in the name of Jesus. And I pray that all our resolve will all the more in these next days of our life come to such a place that we find You in a place where our first love is renewed like the eagles. So that, Lord, that we're loving You more and more and more, that it never be said of us that we have cooled off, that we have become lukewarm and we have lost our first love. But let our love get hotter and hotter, Lord, to the place that it burns within us. That we cannot sleep, we cannot eat, we cannot do anything except a red-hot passion for the Lamb. We love You, Jesus. And we praise You and we thank You for this. Lord, I speak life now to everyone in here that has been fighting physical sickness and spiritual awareness of these things being promoted from a place to just physically wear out the saints and to discourage the saints. I stand on the side of the prophecy that, Lord, first by Your word, the strongest prophecy we have is Your word. The word of God says that Jesus Christ was manifest that He might destroy the works of the devil. And that with His stripes, we are and were healed. I thank You, Lord, that the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want anything. I dismiss, according to the word of prophecy and life, physical sickness in Jesus' name. Let there be none sick, weak among us. I release the power of God. Just receive it in your bodies. I release the power of God into livers, into pancreases, into the secretion of insulin. I release life into the lungs, to the heart in the name of Jesus. I release the power of God. Lord, just right now, just let the speed of God, the effervescence, the life of God, the very fullness of that life just begin to flow into bodies. Lord, I pray that emotions, Lord, will begin to turn and that the light, the heavens will begin to open up. That, Lord, that we'll awaken into righteousness and we will not only, Lord, take it by faith, but we will feel our salvation. We'll feel the joy of the Lord. Depression, I break you off, not of my name, but of His name, in the name of Jesus. Spiritual torment, I command you in the name of Jesus. You are dismissed over their lives and out of their minds and out of their bodies and their hearts. Lord, we release who You are to us in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, Father, that finances come online. Lord, in the name of Jesus, those that have been fighting terrific battles, Lord, even those places that we described about whatever part we may be invested in those things, Lord, we pray that those things take an immediate death and that You raise up a standard of righteousness. We're not earning anything. We're not doing anything by works. It's not the amount of people that we witness to, the times we're in church, the amount of time we spend in our word. But nevertheless, Father, it is grace. And on that grace that Jesus Christ has died and been risen for us. Lord, we stand over against the trial. We speak and we speak blessings over them. Blessings to their finances. Blessings to their marriages. Blessings that the unsaved children will come into the kingdom of God, will repent, be restored, and be renewed. Lord, that homes and marriages will come into a place of unity. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We did not take up anything this morning, but we will. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many believe that God has a financial plan for this church and He will fulfill it? Now, let's just pray about that right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that this house is full of your financial blessings. And Lord, you will speak to the hearts and you will cause men and women to give unto this ministry until our cup is full and running over. We have preached and do continue to preach your word and call on you for this purpose. Father, I love you. Touch their hearts now. Cause them to know and to give accordingly in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As you're leaving and fellowshipping this morning, if you would please bring something forward. If you have something, we certainly appreciate it. We'll be blessed by it. We'll use it for the kingdom's purpose. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day. Amen.